And welcome, Rugby Rant fans. It's another episode of the Run, Pass, or Kick, baby. I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrara. We got Rob, the Hammer Hammerschmidt. And joining us today, the NOLA Gold GM, Ryan Fitzgerald. Ryan, how you doing?
Thanks, guys. Kent, doing outstanding. Great day to be alive. I really appreciate you guys. And I'm excited to be on here. You know, watch Nate and come on here, watch JP, watch, you know, tons of your guys' stuff in the past. And really thank you guys for all you guys do. You guys, you know, this is the heart and soul of the league. People, you know, guys like you that getting on people in the league and stuff like that, getting on GMs, getting on coaches, players. This is what makes the game grow, you know. And I really, really excited to be on. Really excited to be on.
Well, I'm particularly excited to have you because, you know, I gotta respect my boys, Rob. Give love to my boys, right?
Great work, Rob. Yeah. Great
work. I'm telling you, that's his PJs because as more and more NOLA merch comes into the Hammerschmidt household, I know Mrs. Hammer's like, well, are you wearing it? Are you wearing it? I'm sure he's wearing them as undershirts when he's going to class and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think Jessica and our merchandise has got the address down by heart, probably, as far as where to ship.
Yeah, I'm sure she does. Yeah. I want to produce some underwear. That's the only garment I don't have. It's some boxers, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So for those of you that don't know Ryan Fitzgerald, he's a native of Wisconsin, decorated rugby player, United States Marine, professional football scout in 2003, following standout career at Muskego High School as a lock and a back row player. He was selected to represent United States in the U19s World Cup in France, right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
In France. Cool. Afterward, he took a 4-year hiatus. He started his career as a United States Marine. Coming back, you know, he started contributing to the Milwaukee Rugby Club in 2010. He transferred his talents to New Orleans Rugby Football Club, and he's now the NOLA Gold GM. I mean, that's quite a resume.
Yeah, it's been a ride, you know. It's been a ride, you know, for sure. And take some chance. You know, I moved down here to New Orleans in 2011, and thought maybe it was going to be a 6-month season. My lieutenant that I served with in Iraq twice actually lived down here in New Orleans. You know, moved down here. I'm sorry, not 2011, been down here for 11 years. Moved 2009. I apologize. Summer September of 2009. And moved down here, thought maybe it'd be a 6-month season and doing some work with them. And, you know, here we are now, you know, this September will be, 11, 12 years, you know. So it's funny how it works out like that. Met some unbelievable people that have, you know, obviously again, people like Tim Falcon and stuff and, you know, the whole Falcon family, friends down here for life that have changed your life. So can't think of a better place, you know. A extremely cool place in a really warm, hot spot. You know,
absolutely.
You know, being down there, Jared Cusimano, kudos to that guy. I chatted with him, and he asked me towards the end of my weekend. He's like, "So, what was your favorite part of New Orleans?" And I'm like, "Welling up," and I'm like, "It's the people."
Yeah, you know, it really is. Yeah,
Dan Falcon, Benji, Tim. You know, everybody down there was just off the hook fabulous. So
it's a really, you know, it's an unbelievable family, unbelievable, you know, bond and brotherhood. And I think that the players feel that. Obviously we'll discuss that, you know, coming up here, but like that's what kind of the backbone of you know, and a lot of people talk about that, but that's kind of always been a key part for our recruiting as well.
Absolutely. As an aside, we were talking about merch earlier. Scott, I noticed something back there in the background, bright and orange. I know it's not a construction uniform. what is that?
Yeah, my construction days are behind me. I haven't worked in the field in construction in a long time. The only construction projects I have are at my house, and I definitely don't need a safety vest. But behind me is Rooney's away kit. For those of you that don't know, the stripes in the away kit are all the different neighborhoods in New York City in the five boroughs. And you get that stuff at shopmlr.com. I mean, they have merch everywhere. I mean, you talk about it. I think the only thing they don't have is MLR underwear, to be quite honest. Between kits, between shirts, between tank tops, hats, from head to toe, Shop MLR has all your MLR needs for anything you could ever want. I mean, I got to be honest. Once or twice a week, a Shop MLR package has shown up to my house since the season started. And I have to hide them from my wife because she's very upset with me. But seriously, folks, no, I'm serious. She's like getting on me about it, and you gotta hide the credit card and all that. But seriously, I grab things from every team: Utah, Seattle, Giltinis. All the merch is there for all the teams. So please go to shopmlr.com for all your MLR purchases. Rob, tell the new folks who maybe haven't seen the Run Passer Kick how it works.
Yeah, it's quite simple. Run Passer Kick is our unique interview style. Basically, it works like this. We're going to prompt each question with Run Passer Kick. And Ryan's going to have three options. He'll just tell us what he wants to do. He can run with the question, which is to say that he's going to go ahead and answer the question and take it up straight away. He can also pass the question, which is to say maybe it's a question he doesn't want to answer. It's a tough question or perhaps one that he doesn't want to spill the beans on yet. Or he can have a little fun with us, put us on the back foot, and he can kick a question, which is to say he's going to go ahead and kick it to one of us. We'll assume it's a person that asks the question unless he directs his kick. We're not sure how good a forwards are at that, but we'll assume he's pretty adept with both feet. And we're going to answer in his stead, and he can grade us out, tell us we were crap, tell us we were awesome, and even follow up and give it a little context. So, Ryan, are you ready for the run, pass, or kick interview?
I am ready. Just for the record, when I started playing high school rugby in Muskego, you know, Joel Plemons, our coach, everything that I think I – watched the New Zealand All Blacks game. It's like my second practice and tried to kick that first practice. And he made it very clear. We don't need you kicking ever.
If only you could kick like Dylan Foster to Patty Ryan, you know what I mean? Yeah, those are two forwards who can really, were really light and delicate with it and make it look good.
Yeah. But we talked about your background and your experiences. And my first question, run, pass, or kick, you are a Marine. How did your experience in the Marine Corps carry over and impact you as a general manager of the NOLA Gold?
Yeah, I'll definitely run with that one. I near and dear to my heart, obviously, in the United States Marine Corps. And I tried to, you know, you take life lessons from the Marine Corps and from the time that they're there. Good times, tough times, bad times, the whole night, everything, all the experiences you take with you. In every walk of life, I try to. It's something that's with you every single day. It's kind of the gift that keeps on giving as far as the brotherhood and the relationships and the that you carry on for life. And where it transfers over, I think, a lot to a team and into the locker room is a lot of times, you know, the adversity, the adversity and dealing with adversity. A lot of people talk about and teams, you know, all sports want to talk about brotherhood and culture and family. And that's great, obviously. But I don't think, you know, with all due respect, I don't think you just become a brotherhood the second that you just put on the same jersey. Just because you sign on the same dotted line, you're not a brother. I think you earn that when you grind together through training camp, through tough times. 2018, when, you know, we're starting MLR and it's in infancy and guys are willing to take risks and saying, hey, we don't have a lot of red carpet to roll out right now. But if you stick with it and you grind it brick by brick, you know, this is going to be something special. And that's why I was so excited coming here to the gold mine, you know, under 4 years. The guys have been here for years and kind of built this thing together. That's what kind of builds that culture and that family and that brotherhood. And, you know, getting through the tough times, it's easy. It's very easy to get through the easy times, all the wins, all the fun times, socials. Those are all great. But you find out a lot of character about yourself, not only in the Marine Corps, but in rugby or, you know, any walk of life, about who's with you through the tough ones and the grind. And some long stretches or, you know, bad, tough losses, whatever it is. And I think that adversity and dealing with that is what kind of you try to bring the hardest. And that's why I kind of always say it's a great day to be alive because you do two tours to Iraq and 7 months each time. You know, not every day is certain. Not every day is a given. Not every day is 100%. And I think that, you know, and that's what I think the guys here embrace. You also have the last thing about the Marine Corps. Also, the Marine Corps is very good about there's every guy top to bottom, the Marine Corps steps on the yellow footprints, you know, in San Diego when you go to Iraq and everything, whether you're a general or you're a PFC, everybody goes through that same gauntlet. And here, you know, whether you're undrafted free agent, college player, or you're 80 time, you know, I mean, 2 weeks ago, Robbie Coleman, 80 Super Rugby caps has taken out the trash as well. So everybody here at New Orleans, NOLA Gold has kind of fits that bill to wear multiple hats and no one's too big to pick up a broom. And I think those two mentalities kind of really builds that bond and that culture.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I, you know, not to dig up a something negative or bad, but I think it was really evident for me as an NOLA Gold fan as I watched with the absolutely devastating passing of Sean Riley and how much the team came together and bonded around Sean and his family. It was amazing to see. And, you know, for people that were close, they really got a bird's eye view of just how special a guy he was, but also that bond that has been developed amongst the team over the last couple of years. So It's really great to see from a fan perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really proud of our guys, and I know when his mother and his family was down here, obviously being from Ohio, they don't see all the day-to-day basis. Sean, over the past years, has said, hey, I love these guys down here. They love me. You know, I'm good. And I was really proud of our guys and our organization that she got to see, you know, obviously, you know, the 2 weeks that she was down here is very tough times, but the one silver lining of it is that she got to see that his past years down here, he was taken care of. People did, you know, love him. We had his back. We were with him. And like, again, I told our guys in some meetings and stuff that we had with Sean, and you find out what you're made of, and you find out how close you are and how tough you are and how much you love the guy to your left and right when adversity strikes like this. All the easy times are great. You know, all the easy times when you're a college fraternity brothers, it's easy to go to keg stand parties. It's easy to go to frat parties. It's easy to go to the bars and do shots. You find out what you're really made of when you deal with adversity.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it's funny because you could see this in other teams too. I mean, Rooney going through their whole literally winter preseason, having to shovel the pitch. The Giltinis taking their whole camp to Hawaii. And, you know, people want to say, oh, they went to Hawaii. But that's 4 weeks away from their family, 4 weeks that the team bond. And speaking of bonds, you know, there's obviously a tight-knit bond within the NOLA organization and amongst the players. Run, pass, or kick. What steps have you taken to foster this strong culture?
Oh, you guys still there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Hold on 1 second.
We're here. We see you.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. Yeah. I don't know. Sorry about that. Just screen popped up there for a second. I will definitely run with that. I think, like I said, I'll run with that for sure. I think it kind of segues into from the time in the Marine Corps as well and everything like that. But rugby players, in a lot of ways, very similar to when you're like a platoon in Iraq. I think if you're all grown men here, all grown adults, a lot of professional athletes. As far as fostering it, one of the biggest things is being honest. Being honest with the guys. Good, bad, or good. These are big boys. They're grown men. Being honest with them outright. Letting them know that you have their back and you're with them 100%. Now, does that mean that you're going to have a 20-year contract and you're going to be here for life? No. But at the same time, you actually, when the rubber hits the road, you know, you're actually there for them. You're backing them. You're there for them, doing everything we can to succeed together. But at the same time, just being dead honest, you know, being dead honest with, and I really respect, I think Nate Osborne does an unbelievable job with that as well as our head coach. I've never seen a head coach, you know, my 20 years of rugby that, a lot of times there's coaches that they announce that roster and they just post it up. They just post it up in the hallway on Wednesday or Thursday. And Nate takes a time one by one for all the guys that were right on the fringe of making it, right on the fringe and just missed it. He has a sit-down discussion with them before he even tells the 23 that are in it. And I think that those are tough talks. Those are tough talks and emotionally draining to do that every single week. So I have a lot of respect for that. I think that kind of builds like, hey, you know, it's not great news right now this week. You missed the rest or whatever, but I'm being honest with you. I'm being open with you. I'm being man-to-man, open door policy. I think that the players are a great mix of veteran guys with the new guys, eager to learn, willingness to learn, be versatile, learn multiple positions. That kind of goes hand in hand again with the Marine Corps where everybody kind of, is willing to do multiple jobs. I think that really helps.
Yeah. And, it's funny. You talk about, the mix of guys. I've said from the get-go, as soon as the 2021 season was starting to develop, that's one of the things I liked about NOLA's roster is that it was very well balanced, you know, a nice balance of a core veteran group that's been with the team for a while. Some, you know, veteran new guys coming into the fold. We know Devin Short, obviously JP, and some of the some other boys, and then of course some of the young guys that you guys brought along. It was very impressive. So with all that being said, you have this great group of guys. DJ Coyle, everybody in rugby land knows who he is. He wants to know, run, pass, or kick, will there be a 2021 NOLA Gold fishing trip? And I think he really wants to know if he's going to be invited.
Got it. You know what I'll do? I'm going to go ahead and we'll make this one a neutral one. I'm going to kick this one to Scott. Scott, I'm going to tee it up for you here. From the time that you know, what you know so far from what Rob has talked about with NOLA Gold, what we've discussed about NOLA Gold, all the stories, Tim Falcon has a awesome fishing camp on, you know, just outside in the, just on the fringe of the Gulf. Do you think that there will be a 2021 fishing trip with that information that I've been able to give you and with the information that Rob has had?
I mean, I'm sure there has to be. This seems like one of those things that if you're not invited to the fishing trip, like who really are, you know, are you really on the team? Or are you really friends right. with the Falcons or friends with the organization? Will you invite Doug Coyle? I'm not sure. You know, I love Dougie, but maybe you should invite the big guy instead.
Yeah.
No, but I'm busting. Hey, busting his chops.
So I think Scott and Robbie get the first dibs, you know. So
well, I That's assume Rob's going, about. But you know, if somebody's gonna take Dougie's place, it's gonna be me. But moving on to the next question, and this is more of a philosophical question on the teams. You know, it's quite obvious that this league there's different philosophies, right? LA relying on the method of getting over those former Wallabies, those guys they have relationships with to get a good team going at the beginning of the season, at the beginning of a franchise. NOLA, it's clear that they have a mission to develop young American talent. So run, pass, or kick. Is there a right balance between the two philosophies?
I'm going to run with it. And I'm not trying to be you know, be a ball hog. I was told to pass once in a while too, you know, I hate that, you know, but
you do
know,
whatever you want.
No, I love, you know, I'm not going to knock anybody for any, however they build their roster, anybody builds a roster. It's a, you know, there's, you know, more than one way to get after it. I personally have always felt, you know, that there's a lot of American talent out there, especially if they put in the right environment, right culture. You know, there's a lot of college kids that are coming out there, unbelievable athletes and awesome. And they've been, you know, coached by, you know, just maybe it's just been an old boy helping out or something like that. And that's no offense, obviously, to any old boy. I'm saying that's just the fact that, you know, there wasn't a physio, there wasn't a trainer, there wasn't film sessions, there wasn't a lifting program. Versus, you know, obviously people coming from overseas and everything that have had that since they've been 4 or 5 years old, 8 years old and junior, you know, so there's no wrong way to do it. There can be a blend of it. Of course, we're all about the draft. We're all about the college players and developing them. It also takes, you know, the creativity and the patience of, you know, Nate and our coaching staff to, like, you know, a guy like Moni, who comes down, your testimony, Tungawea comes down here as a center wing. And now the guy's, you know, on the fringe of the Eagle pool as a flanker, you know, so and getting creative with it and thinking outside the box, like, hey, just because you're 8 men in college or 8 men in high school, doesn't mean you can't play this way, you know? So, and then there's ways too that, you know, LA, obviously they're, you know, guys, teams like LA and stuff like that have an unbelievable stacked team, Wallabies and, you know, great. And I'm sure and guarantee you those players that are coming over are also contributing to their young players over there as well. So just like ours are, guys like Carl Meyer that are coming over, JP Duplessis, you know, guys that are capped Eagles, Dolan and Dino Waldron. I mean, there's sometimes in first couple of years where these guys in training camp are like, man, I've learned more in 6 weeks from Cam Dolan about lineouts than I have in the last 4 years, you know? So all of it is, you know, whatever way, whether it's a, you know, a foreign player that comes over and does that help, or if it's a American Eagle cap player, but you know, just to be frank, be honest, I do take a lot of pride in the fact that, you know, we are, you know, going after that American way and we are, you know, selling foreigner spots sometimes for salary cap space or for draft picks to give kids, you know, give young, when I say kids, I mean young men coming out of college shots here, and they're all in. And it's awesome to see how much dedication that when they get to NOLA, they put it all in the line. They put their career on the line. They put everything else on the line and they're just all in. And there's guys that have been here just since January. A couple guys have been here since January that you can, it's been a little over 3 months. And it's like, this is unbelievable. I mean, he's, you know, my whole scouting report that I had in January, I might as well rip it up. Cause in April it looks completely different. He's, you know, so it's really intriguing, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's funny.
The biggest thing too, the last thing is just the versatility and the depth. I think it's a 16 game season. It's long, it's grinding. Sometimes you got to go dig into your backyard, dig into your deep into the player pool with injuries. I mean, you know, we've had even just this year, you know, JP Eloff, Nick Feeks, and now just unfortunately Robbie Coleman in week two. I mean, we're in week two and we're already, you know, at fly half number four, you know, so, you know, that's, you know, the deeper ones win, you know, and the deeper you can get, and you only get better in rugby, you're getting out there on the actual pitch and getting called up.
Yeah, you know, and I think the versatility, you don't see it in just players that are on the fringe to get a roster spot. I mean, to bring it back to Matthew Bastrow last year, Rooney was down two locks. Their loose forwards had to move inside, and Bastrow was like, "Well, for me to stay on the field, I'm going to go in as an eight man, and you know, do what I need to do in the breakdown." And you see that in a guy in his caliber, and you see it with a guy coming straight out of college, whatever they need to do to help the team. And I think, again, another philosophy that I think is over across every team, and it's great to see. Obviously, NOLA having the injury trouble they have this year, it's tough to watch that. But also seeing guys step up, seeing you guys come in and get those guys that might have been on the fringes to come on the team. It's very exciting to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that I've loved to see this season, and I hope to see it continue, is just what you said, some of those college players. A lot of people questioned, you know, really, is the draft that deep? Are these guys really going to be able to contribute? And already 3 weeks in. What's that? What's that, Ryan?
I said it absolutely is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Mooneyham, Cook. Cook had a phenomenal week this last week, right? Awesome. Andrew Guerra, I mean, stepping up like a freaking man over the first 2 weeks. You know, Cameron Dodson, Michael DeWall didn't get a time last year because of ankle injury, stepping up for the AGs, and, you know, Aaron Matthews. So it's really great.
Bronson Tellis.
Yeah, Bronson Tellis. So on that note, talking about roster development, these young guys, here's the question. Behind the scenes in the fall, you orchestrated one hell of a savvy trade that brought J.P. Duplessis and a developmental American player close to my heart, Stephen McLeish, to NOLA. Yep. Run, pass, or kick. Can you share with the fans how that process came about, the nuances of your GM savviness?
Yes. So, yeah, I'll run with it. Yep, it's good.
Tell us all your secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was –
taking notes.
Yeah, it was – well, with J.P. at first, it was, you know, it was a 46-day grind. So it took 46 days from the initial conversation. And, you know, I'm speaking, you know, what I do know, obviously, with respects to San Diego's and David Poole, don't know, you know, 100% on all the little ins and outs of what happened back then. But I do know that there was got word that there that San Diego was going to be possibly moving on with JB. I think they had a lot kind of, you know, thought process that maybe, you know, with Mananu, you know, as well. And it looked like it was kind of maybe an either or situation. That's just from, you know, what I was told. So I, you know, reached out to, you know, San Diego with David Poole, and sounded like it was going to be a done deal that, you know, Mananu was coming back. Looked like it was going to be kind of either or situation. And then Mananu wasn't coming back anymore. But at that time, that kind of engaged already with the rights and with the yes from in the, you know, the approval from San Diego to have a conversation with JP, and had like the first chat I had with him was about 3 hours. Yeah. And I think just kind of everything, all the parts lined up, I think is, and at that point in time, it looked like he was going to be, you know, San Diego's gonna be moving on. And then when Mananu kind of was not coming back, they obviously kind of wanted to kind of maybe have a second thought on it. And, you know, JP, just a loyal guy that he is, you know, already had that great 3 hour conversation, and, you know, another, I don't know, 35, 36 days of kind of out sitting, out negotiating, waiting around. And here he is, you know, 46 days later. So it was all worth it. He's an unbelievable, in the 20 years I've been playing, he's, you know, he's right up there. One of the better players, but overall, so what he just does in the locker room as a team leader, respected. He's, you know, picks his spots. Do anything, you know, shirt off your back kind of guy for anybody. Great family man, unbelievable, awesome wife, Chloe, and their three kids, and, you know, Maddie, Sieta, and Luke. And Luke is also, you know, 1 year old, and he is Eagle eligible, you know, so he is Eagle yeah, eligible. So, you know, might have to get him a, you know, 2042 contract, you know. So, yeah, you know, he was born in San Diego, so he's Eagle eligible. And then with Stephen McLeish, you know, before the draft, we actually brought Stephen down. You know, Nick Feeks actually, you know, we watched, he was on the tape entering the draft. Feeksy definitely vouched for him a little bit. Like he said, hey man, he's, you know, he's young, you know, he's in insurance. He's young. He's only 20 years old, young. And he's been, but he's tough. They'll run through drywall for anybody. Liked his tape a lot. We actually flew him down before the draft, just to work him out, meet him. And, you know, had a great conversation with him. And, again, perfect developmental player. And, he ended up getting drafted. We had pick 2 and pick 10. And, then when he was drafted to LA, kind of kept it on our radar, and also talking with Adam Fryer and everything from Los Angeles. And I just think where they were at on their roster just didn't have, you know, enough space for him, and was able to Lindsey Stevens, who was on a back end of our roster, but wasn't 100% sure if he was coming back to the States, has a very good relationship with Darren Coleman. If he was going to be able to go back to the States, it was going to be at LA. So it's kind of a one-for-one swap that I was like, hey, Lindsey's not going to be coming back. Can only go to LA. And so I was able to, you know, move Lindsay over and get some extra salary cap space as well, as long with getting a very good upcoming developmental player with Stephen McLeish, who is tough kid, runs through drywall for you, smart. Again, when I said earlier about guys that have improved just from January to April, kind of, you know, he's right up there.
It's interesting to hear the ins and outs, especially in a trade like that, where there was foreign roster spots, there was salary cap space, there was a player involved. And that was, I wouldn't say it was a blockbuster trade, but I would say it was the first trade of its kind in the MLR that was kind of upfront and, you know, that when you announce the signing, the details were announced as well. And a lot of the fans don't get that insight a lot. So it's very nice to see. But talking about the NOLA roster, you've obviously, NOLA has found some diamonds in the rough. Tristan Blewett, Carl Meyer, Damian Stevens, Nicholas Bursick. If you know, Rob creates the question, so I'm sure he probably had four or five more names on there he wanted me to mention. But run, pass, or kick, what is your process in finding these young diamonds in the rough?
Yeah, so my process is, honestly, it's all year long. All year long, I kind of had, started when I was, with the Senior Bowl with the NFL. Phil Savage went to Senior Bowl, gave me my opportunity there for the last 3 years, taught me kind of how you watch film to the point where you're getting out of everything out of it, but you're not watching. He always used to say, you're not watching film for so much where the time where you're watching film for so long that the film is just watching you, and just how to evaluate and stick to your board and stick to your, stick to what you see. And then obviously, I'm not comparing NFL to this because it's completely different as far as where we're at, as far as, which is amazing. There's sometimes, you're signing a player where you actually overseas or something where you don't actually even physically actually meet them until you've already bought them a visa and get them up at the airport, which is amazing because obviously like in the NFL, you meet them at the combine, you meet them, you have interviews the whole nine. But getting back to just our process, and just especially, in season, we're always, obviously in season, like something right now, always still waking up any email we get, any phone, any guy that sparks it, we're always trying to turn over every stone and every rock. Always check something because sometimes before you know it, you blow one off and sure enough, you see that guy 2 years down the road. So turning over everything and, keep staying open-minded as well. Like, hey, this guy, doesn't look at the great, whatever tape they're watching, whatever you're watching, but at the same time be like, hey, well, if he, he's playing at that level, yes, it's not the highest level, but if he gets in here, he doesn't have to be the star. He can get here. He can be a role player. He can develop. He can be on the men's team. He can be on the academy and give him 2 years and give him our program. Do we see a little bit of a pathway in the future for him? And then also just keep an open mind on the versatility. Nate is very good. I think we have a really good 1-2 punch with, him and myself as far as staying open-minded and our coaching staff as well. Kane Thompson, Todd Fitzgerald, as far as like I said earlier, with a guy like Tesamani Tungawea. So trying to find every way that a player can contribute and not just locking in. Sometimes rugby, I think sometimes evaluators in rugby sometimes get so dug into, well, he's a seven. He's not a six.
Yeah.
He's a six. He's not a seven. Man, when the ball breaks out of the back of the scrum, just, let's give him the best 15 players, So, kind of like that analogy with, the Miami Heat got together and you had LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. And you're like, well, they're all small forwards. So what? They're all really good, So, I think our evaluation, just to get back to it and wrap it up in a nutshell, is watch a lot of tape. We grind, I turn over every rock, try to communicate anybody that we get. We always at least write back something, or put them on our radar, put them on our whiteboard, and then stick to your board and stick to your gut instincts. Andrew Guerra is a perfect example. Here's another little insider on the during the draft. So we picked Brian Nault number two. We had, number 10 overall pick as well. And we had that, and as we had 5 minutes on the clock and got calls from multiple teams to make a trade to that spot. They didn't necessarily say who for, but we evaluated Andrew Guerra. We knew him. I've interviewed him multiple times. We worked him out. We stuck to our numbers on his work rate, his Bronco, the three or four coaching staff and coach members that we had. And, we're current. And I think we stuck to the board, stuck to it. And 5 minutes, and I think we made the pick with about 7 seconds left on the clock. So stuck to it all the way down. And those kind of pressure moments that kind of overreach on somebody or, get excited about what maybe someone did overseas 10 years ago or something like that, stick to your board, stick to your gut and see where can he contribute to us now? Where can he contribute to us 2 years from now? Is he versatile? Is he consistent, tough? All those things are a massive piece for us. And the versatility and the consistency wins. And I think that goes from the top to bottom that we, you know, if we're going to look for that in a player, then myself as a GM and our head coach, I stick to that as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I, for one, as a Chicagoan, love the fact that you guys picked up Andrew Gary. He's a guy that came from Chicago, played, you know, with the Tornadoes, played, you know, out of the Midwest, played with the Lions. And it's really good to see him get picked up. And, you know, I was, he was a 5'10 guy, and I'm thinking, boy, he's a little small, but man, he's really stepped up and played like a man. Like, he reminds me of Neil Beck. Right. For England. Like, Neil Back just had this absolute motor, was strong, was fit, was fast, get around the pitch, would throw his body on defense and offense. Yeah. And when I saw Andrew play that first the first week, I was like, yep, he's got the goods. It's good to see him out.
Davey Williams, actually, just before we came on here, was just telling me, our strength and conditioning coach, you know, told me that Andrew, you know, Garrett in season, you know, we're already went, you know, week three in season here, and he just had a couple PRs in the gym in season, you know, and, nice. You know, so, yeah, he's a workhorse, and he's going to be a tough out for a long time, you know, and, first Chicago Lions got a great history, and for him to come out of college and be named captain in his first year in that sevens, that says a lot. I think I called Dave Clancy before the draft, you know, probably so much that he was probably hitting ignore how many times I called him on every little possible thing to get on him. So I think just doing your due diligence and sticking to your board and grinding it. And, when you, those interviews and, flying guys down here before the draft, it was a massive. Brian Nault, Andrew Garrett, and Stephen McLeish, we all flew down, and Kean Berry, we all flew down here before the draft and interviewed them, met them, had lunch with them, worked them out. And all four of them that we did that with, I feel like, you know, we're 100% confident they're going to be here for a while.
Absolutely. And it's good to see all those young boys on the roster. So I want to go to the next question. Week two against Rooney, obviously, the Gold take a hit. Their fly half and playmaker, Robbie Coleman, goes down late in the match. Couple questions here. It's a run, pass, or kick. First of all, what's his status? I don't know that, you know, outside of people in NOLA entirely know where he's at. And then I think more importantly for NOLA fans, they want to know, again, run, pass, or kick, how does Coach O plan to fill his shoes against Austin in week four coming up this week?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll run with it. And for as far as for Robbie's status, Robbie, fortunately for our unbelievable medical staff with TISM, with Tulane Institute of Sport Medicine, we were able to get him in. Robbie had his surgery this past Thursday. He just had it on Thursday. Went up there and went over to the hospital, brought him a Zion Williamson jersey because he's you know, huge basketball guy. Cool. And it was a tough one. It was a tough surgery. You know, obviously ACL and some MCL, PCL damage, you know, meniscus. It's going to be, you know, long road back on it. But Robbie, like he is extremely positive all about the team and family. When he came out of it in surgery and texting, first thing he says right off the bat is, I'll be back. And first thing he said even before that is, whatever I got to do over these next couple months for the rest of the season to help out Nate with the attack, help out any of the players, anything, I will be, you know. So he's which just shows a testament to his character. Wasn't about him, wasn't about, you know, just his first initial thought right off the bat is, as soon as I get moving around a little bit, everything that I'll be instantly helping out the boys and helping out Nate to get after it. So that just shows what kind of guy he is. And we love him when we're with him. And I got nothing but confidence that he's one tough dude, you know, so he'll be fighting all the way back. And then for with Coach Osborne, as far as what we're doing at number 10 and getting into it, Timmy Gilliam, we got him, you know, Timmy Gilliam, we picked up right as the draft, the season started. Great player, you know, all-time leading scorer at Austin. The boys love him. They get on to him immediately, you know. And then last year with New England, and just as the rugby gods line it up for you, his first start for NOLA Gold is against Austin. His second one will be against New England, you know, the two teams that he just played with, you know. So it's unbelievable how it lines up like that. But I think it's also a testament to him and his character for Timmy. There was guys when Robbie went down on Saturday against Rooney, there was guys in the locker room that were coming up to me and said, hey, Fitz, you know, a couple of the team leaders and a couple of the guys, a couple of the senior leaders, just saying, hey, you know, I know obviously you got to do your job as far as looking for the fly out, looking for what you got to do. But just to let you know, it's your call. But we're all in with Timmy. You know, we love him. He runs the pattern. A little different than Robbie. Robbie is obviously, you know, Robbie can, you know, dummy and cut it up on you a little bit, just like Timmy can. But Timmy's also, and what he did so well at Austin, he's a very good organizer. He gets everybody in the right place, keeps you in shape, stays, you know, the pattern in shape. And I think Nate, you know, really organizes well. And he uses his foot well as far as kicking to the corners territory or, you know, being the all-time points leader at Austin, he's obviously dropped in a couple as well. So
definitely,
we're 100% confident in Timmy. We're all behind him, and we'll be getting after it. And we're excited for him. He's super excited. You know, he got his first cap of this last week as he got the last, you know, 12 minutes there against Rooney. And now he gets his first ever start against his former team. So right here at the goal line at 3:30. So we're all in with them, and we're excited going forward.
Offside Head Brewing Company is Chicago's premier location to watch rugby and enjoy quality ales and lagers for all seasons. Located in Mundelein, Illinois, in the heart of Lake County, owner Bruce Durr and the Tight Head staff will ensure you are kept well hydrated so you don't miss a single scrum. Tight Head Staff Room is like the familiar rugby clubhouse in which friends and families can meet, socialize, and enjoy the action of every Major League Rugby Derby that will electrify the 2021 season. The watch parties will happen every week throughout the season up to the Major League Rugby Final on August 1st. Hey, Chicago, when you want rugby, Tight Head Brewing Company will satisfy your thirst. Tight Head, it's worth more than a try. Okay, so next up, Ryan, we got a unique little segment. It's always fun to put the guys on the ground in the unique cities to the test in what's called the Quick Tap segment. We're just going to ask you some either-or questions, and you just say whatever on your mind there as to which option you would go with. So I'm going to start first, since you're down there in New Orleans, the Crescent City. New Orleans staple, etouffee or red beans and rice with andouille?
Red beans and rice.
That's my man. That's what I like to hear. I had some good stuff down there 2 weeks ago.
Sure is. Especially when you add that Tabasco to it. Tabasco all day.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I got so geeked up about it, I'm going to make it here in the next week or two just so I can kind of carry myself mentally back to New Orleans.
There you go.
All right. Your speed, Saturday night on Bourbon Street or Sunday morning in the French Quarter?
Saturday night, Bourbon.
Like any good Marine. The Marine just shot out of him at that point. Yeah.
I mean, they're both outstanding, obviously, you know, but I mean, I guess that would probably, you know, French Quarter walk around on a Sunday during the Saints game or during the NFL's in the fall and stuff like that is beautiful as well. In the summertime, it can get a little hot and everything. There's always so much going on there on a Sunday. You can't go wrong. Flip a coin. Saturday night, though, on Bourbon, too, if you're, you know, going out with the wife and, you know, going out with the wife and the buddy and all the crew, the old boys, whatever, any of it, you know, there's always a good times there, too, you know. So you can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. That's just one kind of thing. Flip a coin. You want to do a Saturday night or you want to do Sunday fun day? I mean, it's, you know, they're both awesome. You know?
What about a doubleheader? Just do one or the other, right?
Perfect segue. Stay away. You know, we got one going on this weekend, doubleheader. Well, first one here in MLR history, you know, right here at the gold mine. Might as well just roll right into it. So Saturday night and Sunday.
Oh, hold on. Pump the brakes. We're going to get to that. We're getting to it.
Well, hold on. This guy has been in the news recently, Prince Harry. You know, people thought, you know, oh, he was naked in a Vegas hotel room when he was younger. I'm like, he's a rugby player. He's a Royal Marine. If he wasn't naked in a Vegas hotel room, there'd be something wrong. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Rugby player, Royal Marine, that was naked. Well, you're not the first. So
exactly.
Nothing new to see here, folks.
Right. No.
Okay. Better fan driven fun. The second line or Rooney Rooster versus King Creole.
Oh man. Yeah. That I would say, I mean, you can't the second line all day, but the Rooney Rooster one versus King Creole would be outstanding to watch, especially depending on, you know, might alter once in a while and who's always jumping in there in that King Creole suit. That would be outstanding as far as to see who could pull that off. But I'm always going to go with second line because what's amazing about our people, our fans here, it doesn't matter if it's at the gold mine or if it doesn't matter if it's at Shaw High School, somehow, some way they will find a way to make a second line parade. You know, a Rooney Rooster versus King Creole would be an awesome YouTube moment to see them go at it. But at the same time, it'd be just that the second line parade is been there, done that, and is here to stay for a long, long time. And I think it's pretty awesome with 15 minutes before kickoff when our second line goes from our party shack around the whole field right up to your seat is kind of a really, really cool tradition that's going to be here as long as I'm here. So
that's awesome. Yeah. And as an aside for fans who don't know, Benji Haswell, a friend of the show, actually played the Rooney Rooster. And so he's at the after party outside and Henko Hermesheis sister was at the game from New York and she comes up to him, you know, cause he's South African, she's South African and says, you know, that Rooney Rooster was kind of low budget, but, you know, but it's good to see that they brought their mascot. And Rooney and everybody's laughing, and she didn't know why. And suddenly somebody goes, the Rooney Rooster was Benji. And right. that she would, you know, he lost it. Everybody lost it. It was
exactly.
It was so funny. And I wish Doc could have seen it.
Just a funny, great story. Listen,
when that fight happens, when that real King Creole versus Rooney Rooster, it'll be me versus Benji, and we'll really get down.
Exactly.
Put Benji in the King Creole suit. Yeah. All right. Last one on this one. Beer on a hot afternoon or coffee on a brisk evening?
Beer all day, every day.
Again.
I got a funny backstory on that too, is because, you know, speaking of JP Dubuzzi and a lot of the guys absolutely love coffee. And I'll give you a fun fact here. So in my life, I have had about 2 cups of coffee, and wow, I am not a coffee guy at all. So that's why obviously I'll pick the cold beer for sure on a hot day. Plus cold beer on a hot day is awesome. I'll pick that every day. So that was a layup one for that one. However, if you would have asked me back in, you know, up to 2 years ago, cold beer or Mountain Dew would have been different, because a funny story, when I first started this job, I used to, this is a fun trivia fact, and I even wrote Mountain Dew. So for my first 2 years here, I was drinking 12 Mountain Dews a day.
Jesus Christ.
Well, 12 Mountain Dews a day up till the Thanksgiving of 2019, I quit cold turkey, and I've had one since, but I will. And I promise you, this will be on YouTube. If we win the championship this year, I'm going to be slamming one and probably, you know, bonging one, because I'm going to be bonging a Mountain Dew. You know, so I 2 ice cold Mountain Dews, crush one, down in one, and maybe even funnel one. Who knows? You know, so,
and make sure you have physio there just in case the heart goes.
Yes, have the physio right there. So, yeah, but for 2018 and 2019, I was drinking about 12 Mountain Dews a day. So wow. I even wrote Mountain Dew to try to, you know, get their logo across the front of the jersey, print that out a picture and sent it to them and everything. So, yeah. So Mountain Dew, if you're listening to this, give me a call.
Yeah. Easter sale.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of coffee, Rugby Coffee was born out of two passions, providing ethically sourced coffee and promoting the growth and development of rugby. By combining these two passions, the folks at Rugby Coffee see an opportunity to bring people together. And together, we can make a difference. Rugby Coffee invests 10% of their profits into giving kids opportunities to play rugby and projects that help uplift communities. These endeavors have been transformational in many kids' lives and uplifted and empowered these communities. The boys at Rugby Coffee have launched 3 distinct brews, Jouer Jouer, Champions Cup, and Crowd Favorite, which is a mild North American blend. Each brew has its own unique style and flavor. Get your brew and support youth rugby. A simple vision can be transformational. Rugby as a sport can inspire communities, bring hope, and provide opportunity. Rugby Coffee, it's not just a game, it's a way of life.
Well, now I feel terrible that I didn't drink coffee.
Well, right. And if you're going to drink coffee, Yeah, if you're going to drink coffee, make sure it's Rugby Coffee. Yes. It's delicious. Since they've sent me,
asked me about it every single day. So eventually I'm going to crack off a couple of everything. That but just never came up. The only time I had a couple cups in Iraq was just to stay awake. But that was it. Other than that, it was always doing the do.
Coffee and Rip Fuel and Mountain Dew.
Yes, Rip Fuel. Rip Fuel. Look at the guy over there.
While you were in Iraq hitting Rip Fuel, I was in college hitting Rip Fuel and slamming Red Bulls stay awake.
We got that first pallet in one time in Iraq. We were in some tough spots where you got mail once a month. And all of a sudden, one time he got mail and they sent this pallet of Rip Fuel. And that was just lightning in a bottle. That was amazing. You know, so.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. We're going back to the run, pass, or kick. Last year, the team moved its pitch from Shaw High School to the Gold Mine on Airline. This season, it's also shifted its offices to the Gold Mine as well.
Yeah.
So run, pass, or kick. How important has that shift for everything, for the entire operation, been for the Gold?
Oh, that's an easy one. Run, it's been, it's unbelievable. Like, I mean, it's been like kind of changes our whole – you know, changes everything about, you know, our establishment. I mean, obviously, like you said earlier, Shaw's been, was unbelievable what they did for us. Salty of the Earth people at Shaw are just unbelievable what they did to, and get it up and going. Tim Falcon, connections there to get us up there for the first 2 years. And even hats off to all of our fans. Doesn't matter where it was, Shaw, the Gold Mine, or if it's at Twickenham, you know, those, they're going to have a great time and a great party. But to get into the Gold Mine, to have the ability to have, for everywhere from the merchandise, you know, to our people in the front office, the ticket booths, having meetings, all the way down to our players in the locker room, our practice pitch that's going up, just our physio room with, you know, Tulane, everything screams, our new gym that just went into the batting cage area where we're at, you know, everything just screams professionalism, you know. You know, even Hanno Dirksen, who just arrived here the other day, said that ours is right up there as far as training facilities, better than the Ospreys, you know, over, wow, you know, overseas. Yeah, he said, no, this is, I've been,
wow, that's crazy,
12 years. This, you know, the stadium's unbelievable, but I mean, as far as what you guys got here, this is more of a professional setup, you know, just as not the best. So it goes from, you know, like I said, it puts us on the map for recruiting wise. People see that. People see games. Some of the emails or text messages you get from players that are trying to reach out and trying to come over, first thing they say is, yeah, I saw that gold mine on TV. It was unbelievable. You know, you guys are training there full time. You guys are there full time. You know, every, you know, so it went, it was night and day. It's absolute night and day the way it went to. And it put our, you know, our franchise at a whole new level on the map.
Real quick, I had a follow-up, Rob. Sorry. You were talking about the Ospreys facility and what Hannah was saying. So I wonder if it's a culture thing, you know, knowing a bunch of the guys around the MLR, you know, I know seven or eight gym rat guys, and, you know, generally because most rugby players are quote unquote crossover athletes or dual sport or triple sport athletes, you know, they spend a lot of time in the gym. So I'm wondering, run, pass, or kick, you think it's an American culture thing that we might have better gym facilities just because we have that gym rat mentality?
Yeah, I'll run with it. That's a good thought. I mean, especially like so many multi-sport athletes over here, mm-hmm, that it crosses over. And I think the United States does a very good job, especially, think outside the box when it comes to the gym. There's always something that there's always another itch that they're trying to scratch in the gym. You know, they get into a rhythm, They do a 6-week program, and then they heard about this during that 6-week program. So 2 weeks later, they're trying something out. They're trying, you know, they're sort of always looking for more, and they're always hungry and looking for more. And there's guys, mm-hmm, like gym rats that you got to kick out where, I swear to God, every single Sunday that I drive by our old gym, you know, so before we had ours here, somehow, some way, John Sullivan found a way to lift in the morning and get one in before it closed at 5:00. And I'm like, man, I'm literally going to revoke. I'm going to revoke your membership.
You're getting too big. You're getting too big.
Like, you know, so and there's always guys that are just hungry and trying to find every extra edge, you know, and guys like Andrew Guerra as well. You know, those guys, you know, just speaking of him earlier, you know, guys like Carl Meyer, you know, guys that just put in, you know, watching every single thing that they eat, every single thing, watching YouTube video, trying to get better and better. So you coincide that with, you know, a new thing that came out in the gym or just a new gym in general, you know, those meatheads love it.
You know, it's funny you say that because on Sunday, so on Sunday when I was down there, I got invited, of course, to there was a little bit of a social down there, and we're driving by trying to find it. And I go, hey, Benji, I think I just saw Feeks. He's going to the gym.
Yeah, that's our old one right there. Yep.
Yeah. It was Sunday. And I'm like, you know, here's a social going on. Feeks is getting his workout and getting his knee strong. So It's good to see. But on that note, you know, as you talked about professionalism, for those that don't know, you know, folks outside NOLA Gold fans outside New Orleans, the facility is right across from the Pelicans and the Saints training facility. Yes. So run, pass, or kick, are general sports fans in New Orleans seeing the Gold as a legitimate professional sports organization in its own right because of this marriage of having the sports complex out near the gold mine?
Absolutely. I'll run with that. I think it does. You know, especially they're literally almost like right in the same cul-de-sac. You know, I mean, the Saints, Pelicans, and us are all three professional sports teams, not only just in New Orleans, in the state of Louisiana, are right there in the same exact backyard and sharing. And we all have a working relationship with them. You know Jeff Ireland real well, an assistant GM with the Saints, and getting Tristan Blue at the tryout. Carl Meyer might get a look here for punting as well here after the draft. Dennis Loucher, the president of, the Saints, everything that is, you know, very good, and all the higher ups and everything that have an unbelievable relationship with Tim Falcon as far as working together. So, I think having all those connections, and having the really good, you know, professional work environment, all around each other has been outstanding. And with just being in that area, like you just said, you know, I mean, when you see the Saints facility, which is outstanding, the Pelicans facility, and then you see NOLA Gold, and you got a guy like Hanno that said been 12 years over in Ospreys and said that ours is better than that, that makes it legit. That makes it legit to the average fan that, you know, we all know rugby. You know, we know rugby. There's grassroots of rugby, how we came up. But to the average fan that you're trying to sell it to tell them that they're going to go to a Saints game in the fall and then come to a, you know, professional, both of them are professional, one Saints game in the fall and a professional rugby game in the spring. They want to see the same comparison. You know, they want to see all the attention, the detail of a professional environment. And that's what I think that the gold mine is really bringing.
And we're gonna stick with that facility. And you had just said that you brought the gym to the gold mine in the batting cage area. So run, pass, or kick. What's the next thing for the gold mine?
The next thing is to finalize here shortly, which is kind of going at the same time as our right outside. As soon as you turn the corner around the Saints facility, between the Saints and the gold mine, is a big open space right there that actually the Saints are letting our brand new training pitch will be going in as well. Nice. And by having that as well, we train there every single day, all of our locations. We are still right now. We're able to train every day at the gold mine. We have a big enough area on our main pitch to use our pitch and use outside of the pitch. But they have that right there. Plus then that opens up so much stuff that we can do as far as, CRCs, national championship for men's, high school national champion. They have two legit pitches right next to each other at the professional level. Opens up so many doors to bid on opportunities, like I said, for men's and women's collegiate national championships, sevens, 15s, and, youth soccer, youth rugby, whatever, all the stuff that we can continue to do in the off season as well. Again, there's not that many teams in the league right now that are able to have your own facility that not only like, wow, beautiful stadium. Yes. But you're only there the 8 Saturdays to be able to have it every single day of the week. I mean, I'm sitting in here talking to you right now at it, and the gym at it and the training pitch makes it really convenient, really easy. And I'm really proud of it.
Absolutely. And just as an aside, for those that don't know, there's actually a swimming pool in what was the outfield, right? So I've heard there's some pretty cool plans for this, perhaps some, bridal showers or whatnot. And there may be some player appearances who aren't playing that day. They might be showing up down there and sporting their wares, so to speak, from what I understand.
That is also on the docket. Coming soon. Yeah.
So that's great. Tell McLeish to hit the gym so he's ready to go.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, props and budgies, what every woman wants to see on their wedding.
Yep, bingo.
All right, so obviously this fourth week coming up in MLR action, NOAA will host a doubleheader. Again, you mentioned it earlier, the first, actually pitch in the league rather than Las Vegas that will host a doubleheader. LA will play Toronto, so you got the Giltinis, and then you've got NOAA playing the AGs, so the Gilgronis. So run, pass, or kick, how important is this event, for the NOAA Gold organization and the league?
Yeah, I'll run with it, but also, I'll offload. I'll run a little bit and then I'll offload with it. Okay. I'll offload up, back at you, Rob. I gave one to Scott earlier. It is important because I think the biggest thing for us is obviously, especially with this COVID year, it kind of shows, Tim Falcon, a guy like Tim Falcon, everything that'll give you the shirt off your back and do anything we can for it. Obviously this trying year with COVID and, the schedule changing up a little bit and, God bless, Toronto, I give nothing but props and nothing but respect for them. They pack up and move 6 months, moving down to Atlanta, living out of apartments, hotels and everything that. So I think it's the only rugby way in the courtesy way to do everything we can to give them, to host it if they're having issues at the time. They're just the alignment with the scheduling to have, home games, multiple, a doubleheader there in Atlanta. So it is a tough one. And I've told Mark Wincor and Kevin Battle, talking to LA and Toronto, both of them, to keep that in mind, that obviously a doubleheader back to back is tough and doing everything I can, but God bless both of them that they're just like, hey man, we appreciate, everything that you're able to do as well. So, obviously we're trying to do the best rugby host that we can. But that's a good thing about a lot of rugby people is that, they're just like, hey, man, we're just excited to be here, excited to play. Let's get it out. We don't need all the bell, do everything we can possibly do to make it professional for them. But I would kick it back to you as well, Rob, as I'll offload at the 5-meter line here. And you can dunk it over, dot it down between the sticks for an automatic 7. I mean, from the outside looking at, for us here at Gold, I told our guys today when we were talking before film that, it's not going to affect them at all. The game's at 12:30. We play at 3:30. I want to do your daily routine. As you know, rugby players and all professional athletes are very routine, very game day. Yeah. You throw them off for a loop a little bit. They're like, what happened here? So stick to your plan, stick to your daily routine. We have lunch, all this stuff, pregame warm up for us all at the same time. But from the outside looking in, when I say outside of the gold mine here, what do you guys think as fans or just outsiders? Like, what does it look like? Or I'll be honest a little bit that I didn't think that it'd be as a, a big, or big as announcement or a massive announcement as it was for everybody. I thought it'd be just kind of like, yeah, Nola Gold's helping out Toronto and LA. But when you see some of the announcements and it's in America's Rugby News and everything like that, like, oh, that's awesome. I mean, I'm all about the announcements, but I guess it's from our spectrum just because we're so tunnel vision on the next opponent, the next game, right, the next, right. You know, we're not thinking about it as the outside looking in like you guys. So I would see, what do you guys think?
So I would say, well, you hit on the one piece, which is the fact that we know Toronto is having some logistical issues, always getting their matches consistently scheduled because, you know, Life University obviously needs that field to play its college programs. Right. And obviously Rugby ATL is taking up some of that space. So you're helping them logistically get their match in on the day they would normally get it in. Right. And, you know, obviously the Coliseum is an expensive place to, you know, to host a facility. It's a great facility, but again, I think it helps, you know, alleviate some of these pressures of COVID. You can have more fans, you can, you know, split some of the gate and work out some of those pieces. I think that's why the fans appreciate it, because it does give the appearance that the NOLA Gold as an organization are really trying to help other organizations be just as successful as they are. But I think a bigger piece of that for me is branding. Like, what is the long-term impact of this? And now, while it looks like a baseball field, it is now transitioning to be a rugby-built, purpose-built facility that could host multiple rugby events, right? And so what do I think of? I think of down the road, and I, you know, we're going to have a question like developed around this here in a minute, but, you know, we all hope and believe and pray and dream that the Rugby World Cup will be coming to North America at some point. And there's got to be rugby purpose facilities that can host some of those pool matches, right? So you're branding yourself and positioning yourself to be a rugby-only facility that can host and will host big rugby events. So that's my perspective.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, if you have any thoughts there.
Well, I think from the fans' point of view, you know, they had the original schedule, then they had the change in schedule. So I don't know if they really thought about it. So seeing that it was a doubleheader, I think surprised the casual fan. For me, it just made sense. Why have Toronto, quote unquote, lose a home game to travel all the way out to the West Coast, you know, when they could just travel to Louisiana? And it's a little, we're lightening their load as much as we can to have that home match experience. I mean, you saw it in their first two matches. That travel kind of killed them, you know, and then they came on last week. So I think it's just, again, all these teams know the issues Toronto's having. They're trying to help as much as possible. NOLA Gold, ATL. I'm sure if Rooney ever finds a home field, they would have had, you know, given them, you know, something, you know, free jacks. It depends on what state you're in, unfortunately, and that's just how COVID is. But talking about what Rob was talking about and kind of getting back to the questions here. So on Memorial Day, the Gold Mine's going to host the CRCs. I've been there a couple times in Philly. It's fun time. I guess Rob wrote a question, but my question is, run, pass, or kick, is the Gold Mine trying to become Rugby Town 2.0?
Well, along with it, we'll call it the, you know, Gold Mine 1.0, you know, but yeah, I get what you mean as far as, you know, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's what I think the whole envision is, you know, and that's what kind of the whole mission is. But if you can have two, you know, you have the main pitch that we got right there, and you have right here at the Gold Mine, we get that training pitch up and going here shortly. And you have two awesome places, awesome facilities in the, you know, with good weather, you know, for in the spring, and that you can host those things like you were just talking about earlier. I mean, even, you know, even like a, something like this July, you know, we're on the road, you know, USA's playing Canada. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, we're on the road right there, July 2nd. Do you want to do it right here at the Gold Mine? Maybe, you know, so, you know, and it's available, and especially this year would be the year to do it. You know, maybe something like that, mm-hmm. with COVID, we're only limited, states can even have fans, you right. know, so it sounds like, oh, you can only have 3,000. Well, that's probably 3,000 more than some states can have at all, you know? So, mm-hmm. You know, things like that, where you get test matches, get some matches in the summer, get a seven, you know, big sevens tournaments or high school, you know, the youth, the camps and everything like that. So to answer your question, long answer, Scott, is that, yeah, I think that is kind of the vision and the setup as far as being able to have two awesome pitches right there. Having a, you know, tournaments like that where you're playing on both, and the championships right there at the goal in the middle, keep on expanding from there. I mean, that's just two. Mm-hmm. Who knows? We can keep on coming. More bleachers, more setup, more stuff in the outfield. Expand that, you know, 10,000 people stadium. Maybe it gets a little, you know, keep on adding on every year. And I know, you know, just obviously the state and everything been working great with us. The fact that, you know, just kind of timing is everything, where the baby cakes end up leaving and perfect tenant to fill right in. And we're putting people in the stands and people in the seats and getting excited. So I'm sure, you know, the relationship with the state and everything, that's only going to continue to grow and continue to get better.
That's awesome. And I alluded to it earlier, so I'm going to put you on the spot on this one. you talked about USA Canada, but I'm going to put you on the spot even more. So run, pass, or kick, if the Rugby World Cup was hosted by North America in 2027 or 2031, as suspected, would New Orleans submit, or NOLA, through New Orleans, submit a bid to host part of the tournament?
I'll run with it. I wouldn't put anything behind Tim Falcon, you know, so he'll take a shot. That guy, you know, doesn't know how to fail, and he doesn't know how to, and if you challenge something like that, I think it gets him even more excited, you know, so I'm sure, you know, why not, you know, I mean, right. I think we'd take a, you know, crack, who knows, you know, and, you know, the first professional, Tim always talks about this, I forgot exactly, I want to say Wasp, and I think he told me, maybe it was Bristol, maybe Wasp and Bristol, the first ever professional game here was played at the, you know, at the Superdome, you know, Wasp and Bristol back, Wasp and Bristol, back in the, I think, late 80s, early 90s, you know, here. So late, early 90s. And Tim was part of that. Tim was part of setting that up and bringing that here. So I wouldn't put it past Tim Falcon to be able to make something like that happen, you know. So
that's why I call him Swamp Water, man. He gets down and dirty and gets it done.
You say that he, you know, oh, that can't happen or this, you know, when we always have kind of an inside joke, and I made him a poster last year for our season opener. When Tim first hired me, February 13th, 2017, I got settled in a couple of days later, I had a big whiteboard, and on the bottom, when Tim and I were going around, and, you know, people are kind of like, oh, that's never going to work. That'll never work. You know, what are you guys playing? Don't know. Who's on your team? Not sure. When does the season start? No clue. You know, what's your guys' team name? I don't know. You know, who's on the team? Well, right now Tim's at prop and I'm at flanker. You know, so so all that stuff. And I had on the whiteboard, this will never work, you know, dash everybody. And this year, when we moved into the gold mine for our season opener last year against DC, I had a big poster put in his office that had, this will never work, everybody, you know. So go from no, everybody said no chance, never work. And 2 years later, he hit the gold mine. So, you know, when you tell the guy it can't be done, you know, I think he just gets more excited. You know?
Okay, just in case Tim is listening, it'll never work that the Rugby Rant team will be invited to the Rugby World Cup matches down in New Orleans. It'll never work, Tim.
Exactly. He's probably already on the phone right after that happened.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things. It's great bulletin board material. And you're a football guy. I mean, that's Bo Schembechler, right? When everybody was dropping out at Michigan when they were losing, what do you say? Those will stay, will be champions. And then he goes on the 10-year war with Woody Hayes and wins that whole classic, you know, from the 70s and 80s. And it's funny, you were talking about the NOLA Gold, the facility and getting the two pitches and the main pitch. And I mean, from what me and Rob know, having friends down in Houston, Houston's looking to do the same thing. So yeah. I think it's on every team's radar to get in the position where, one, they can host obviously any type of international match, or any type, if the Prem wants to come back, or, you know, maybe Super Rugby comes, or Pro 14, whatever, but also be the place that the Eagles can play when they decide they want to play, you know, Rugby Mexico in a test match, or they want to play the Argentinians or something. And it could be geolocated, and it just doesn't always have to be in Colorado or, you know, in on the West Coast. So it's great to see that the organizations are looking to the future. So speaking of that, we're going on our last question. It's a two-parter. Run, pass, or kick. How would you define success for NOLA Gold in the short term, which I'm going to say is this season? And also, how would you define success in the long term, which I will say is the next 5 years?
Wow. Great one. Okay. I'll run with it, because I guess I've just been a ball hog, you know, so I'm running with it, you know, so just, I guess I don't have a left-handed pass. I've just been keep on running, you know, but, you know, so to run for the first part of it, to answer for success this season is obviously, and I don't want to sound like it's unsuccessful season if we don't win the championship. That is our goal. We would love to win 100%. We want to be there at the end of August 1st. However, coming a notch down from that, that doesn't necessarily mean it was an unsuccessful season. If you know, you could still, a lot you could do, so a lot you can build up. It's a long grind. It's a 16 game season, and we're here to stay. So it's not like it's all of a sudden we're just all in for 2021 and we don't win it, we're done. You know, we're not, you know, rebuilding next year or something. It's successful season to me would be And I told the guys this, you know, you show up to the facility every single day and you can put it, you know, you can check in and you can give us every single thing that you got day in and day out. And you look to improve every single possible day. Bill Walsh has a book called The Scoreboard Will Take Care of Itself, you know, and he says that, you know, multiple times that, you know, he never got really nervous on game day because he felt if they prepare every single day, they give everything, you know, you lose, you prepare, you do every single thing you're supposed to do every single day, grinding, eating right, watching film, coaching, adapted, you know, learning, developing, and you lose 22-21 at the 80th minute. That's sports. That happens, man. The other team across the way is pretty damn good too. You know, that's just going to happen, you know, so I can live with that. You give us every single thing you got, day in and day out from our coaching staff, you know, myself included is in that mix, you know, top to bottom, coaching staff, front off, everybody can, that would be a successful season to me. And I would not being cliche or copping around that answer. I'm just saying that I feel confident enough in our roster and our coaching staff that if we can do that, if we can consistently show up and do that on a week in, week out, day out basis and deal with the adversity from COVID to on the road to ending the season with six straight road games, whatever it is, all that stuff, playing in the heat, all that stuff, you know, injuries, you know, God bless the loss of our fellow brother, Sean Riley. You could do that day in and day out. That's all I ever ask for you. And I'll take the chance and our odds that if we do that with our roster, we'll come out successful. I mean, we'll be there at the end. And 5 years would be to be able to build that. I would, from a personal standpoint as a GM, I would love to continue to see a guy like, you know, just using a name, you know, Jack Webster to Stephen McGlashan. As we're sitting here talking in 2021, that in 5 years, they're household names. I think that as a staff and as a roster, as a GM, that if I could see that, that, you know, sometimes people get evaluated at, you know, in sports on their draft that they picked like, you know, 9 months later after one season. It's like, man, the guy's on a 4-year contract. Give him some time. Give the guy some time to build the thing. You know, if you're getting hired as a GM in the NFL and you're, you know, picking up an 0-16 team, there's a reason why you're getting hired because the team was not good before you were there, you know? So, and, you know, we are every year we're steadily growing. 3-5, missed the playoffs in year one by one bonus point. Year two, atop of the table for a long stretch, had some massive injuries, obviously, with Benny Tarr breaking his neck and, you know, Kyle Bailey and, you know, Scotty Gale out and came up just a point short. And that's how it shows the parity of this league as well, is that we win that last game against San Diego in 2019. We're the one seed. We lose and we're number five and we're the first one out. So my point is not to talk about that. It's every year just to keep on growing. Every year to keep on growing. Our youth numbers expanding. Our academy numbers are expanding. Guys that were drafted in 2021 are now in the starting rotation, maybe in 2023 or 24 or 25, you know, after 2 or 3 years of developing and continuing the backbone of our brotherhood and our culture and not changing that. We're not selling out to, well, this guy is just, we're going to roll out the red carpet for this guy and do everything because he played here, he played there. Everybody is going to stick to our standard, you know. That's one thing that's not going to change. I, you know, picking up players at the airport or something like that, you know, taking personal pride in that, like, hey, that's a time to meet, have a chat, have a talk. Nate Osborne, every single week, one-on-one with players where they go into his office, which is bigger than my first apartment that I had. It's massive, you know, and the guy's got two couches in there. And he's like, yeah, sometimes we just have like almost like a one-on-one chat and nothing about rugby with every guy, just about how his family's doing, how his wife's doing back home, you know, keeping relationships like that forever. You know, and guys that are, you know, the next couple of years, if guys retire, as they leave and go, I think we take a lot of pride in guys that have played here and then are no longer playing here. You know, the guys like Zach Striffler, you know, the guy, Zach Striffler, flying him down and we're, you know, he's flying down in June and signed a 1-day contract to retire, you know, and he's our all-time leading tackler, you know, so stuff like that where, you know, Taylor Howden plays for Houston, you know, we see him and we go to Houston, you know, he's our first ever captain. I drove up to Ohio to go and, you know, try to sign him from Louisiana, you know, so stuff like that built those guys that built the backbone here, relationships that you built and keep that brotherhood and that bond and that culture. That's what would be my 5-year plan.
And it's good to hear a GM talk and not just talk about, you know, the tactics of picking up a player, but talking about how the whole organization interacts with the players on a personal level. And I think that's an insight again, that sometimes the fans don't see, and that's not because it's not there. It's not that every team doesn't do it that way. You know, there's only so much, you know, you could put out on social media a day, and, you know, a lot of it, you know, is not behind the scenes stuff, unfortunately. But honestly, for a guy who's picking and going on pretty much every question, you did really good, in the run, pass, or kick. I mean, I think, It was.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, like I said, just to, you know, and just one more thing that you touched on there, Scotty, as well, is that, you know, it starts kind of like, you know, with our owner and guys like Tim Falcon that'll kind of, you met him, Rob, down here, you know, kind of guy that'll give you a shirt off your back. Class. Doesn't look for it. Yeah, it doesn't look for any of that credibility. Doesn't look for his name to be in this or do it for that glitz and the glamour. Most of the things the guy does, sometimes he doesn't, you know, doesn't even tell anybody, you know, doesn't tell, you know, and that kind of, and players see that as well. I mean, and we're out there in July and we're playing touch and there's Tim Falcon out there playing, you know, and then on a Sunday, you know, he has his title on his business card, like, you know, team owner or chairman or CEO, or I'm sorry, owner or founder, but also he's the head groundskeeper, because on a Sunday, you know, at 8 a.m., Tim's cutting the grass at our practice pitch sometimes. You know? So that's just the kind of guy he is. And when the owner's doing that, and then you got guys like Davey Williams as a coach, S&C coach, who can run with the boys. Kane Thompson, who's a forwards coach and still running a 450 Bronco at 39 years old. It sets the standard for some of these guys, you know. And it says, and Nate Osborne the other day, like they were trying to get into shape, and Nate Osborne steps in and goes, "Watch this, I got it." And boom, steps in and puts through on the league pass, you know, and it just hit him flat and right through. So when you got that, you know, that's kind of sets the standard around it. And like I said earlier, you know, Robbie Coleman is, you know, 80 Super Rugby caps. He's taking out the trash just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. So is Kyle Bailey, the captain. So is JP Duplessis, the vice captain. So team leaders all do it. Doc Irie, currently in the United States Navy. And so that culture and that family is what we really kind of build off.
Well, Ryan, it's been an incredible experience, obviously, for Manila fan to be able to share this time with you. But I think MLR fans all around the league will certainly appreciate the time you're given and the insight you've given on to, you know, how the NOLA Gold operate organizationally, how you operate as a general manager, and some of the great things that are on the horizon for the gold mine and the NOLA Gold as an organization. So we appreciate your time. And just, you know, as we close out here, is there anybody that you want to thank or give a shout out to before we close it out?
My family back home, you know, my family right here at home, you know, when I say home, I say back home because I'm at, you know, at work. I'm saying not right down the road. This whole entire hall, my wife, Callie, my kids, everything that, you know, when you do this, when you build something, you're starting from day one. And the grind, you know, there's a lot of hours. There's a lot of time. There's a lot of multiple hats you have to wear. There's some Saturdays that pop up. There's some stuff on the calendar where it looks like it was empty and then something changes. And now we're working 8 hours, you know, where I thought it was going to take an hour and it took four, you know. So they've been, you know, with it from day one. My family back home is in Wisconsin. It's just unbelievable how much they support, you know, the heck out of us down here and love us. And then honestly, also, you know, obviously all of our players and all the hard work they do, everything that, but their wives as well, you know, section 219, yep. Our wives and girlfriends section, where they're all at, they put a ton of sacrifice into, especially this year with COVID and everything. You know, those, you know, they really are the backbone. I've said it before, you know, at some of our banquets and stuff, that our fans, you know, it takes an entire city to win a championship. Top to bottom, you know, you need everybody from the fans base, everybody in it, that culture, that bond, the vibe. Some of the tries that we had last week, some of the photo shots, even my mom said back home, and she's like, it looks like everybody just loves, the guys love each other down there. You know, the fans love it. The guys love each other. They're so excited for each other when you score. And I think the fans feel that as well, you know, so they're with us through thick and thin, and, you know, we love them. And from top to bottom, from our owner, Tim Falcon, all the way down to every single fan, we're going after everything come August 1st. But right now it's just all about Austin. So just going after Austin.
Here you go. Yeah. Yeah. We're on to Austin, right? We're on to Austin.
And thank you guys very much. Thank the last thing. Yeah. I got time for you guys any day. I'll come on this anytime. You guys are awesome. Love the questions. Love the setup. Love the scenarios. Sorry for being a ball hog. And
listen, we love it.
I get excited. I've been called a lot of things in my life, but I haven't been called quiet ever. So, I get excited about it, and I'm passionate about it. And so, like I said, sorry for running and not passing and kicking as much. Well, so
we do call it the rugby rant for a reason, man.
Yeah.
Exactly. And fans, Rugby Rant fans, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Run, Pass, or Kick. I'm Scott Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. And that's Ryan Fitzgerald, the GM of NOLA Gold. And also for our co-host, Ty Braga, who couldn't be here with us today. Thank you for watching. And we'll see you guys at the next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.